Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Poolside Perspectives podcast. I am Kevin Woodhurst, and with me is my good friend Mike Farley, and we're so glad you found this podcast. Together, we have been homeowner advocates in outdoor living and the pool industry for over 30 years. So we understand the challenges you face creating your backyard paradise. We know your curiosity is not enough to ensure your success. So on this podcast, we're going to talk about the design process and practical steps to help you create that space. We'll have some fun mixed in with it, some aha moments, and this is no fluff. No one has time for that. So we're going to get serious and get very particular about all of these topics. Whether you are a new homeowner with your first remodel or a seasoned homeowner competing your last dream home, we are here to help you end up with what you dreamed of. From pools to patios, pizza ovens to pergolas, porcelain to pumps, pool party to permits, ping pong tables to the processes to your paradise. This is Straight Talk and Action Steps. Let's get started. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Kevin.
Just thinking here that you got home from skiing.
I did.
Earlier today, and I want to hear about it.
So we got to experience
outdoor fun.
Yes. Yeah. So that's probably one of my highest levels of outdoor fun tied into our episode that dropped a few weeks ago.
It does. And oddly enough, the stuff that we're going to cover today, we happen to get a question on the stuff we're covering today. So we might as well cover the question first.
Yeah. So the question came from Ryder. Ryder lives in Montgomery, Texas. And Ryder says, I've got this new home and it's a small piece of property. And I've got two-story neighbors by me. And I've got all these people that are, I feel like I'm in a fishbowl. How do I get privacy?
Yeah. And that seems to be a bigger deal here than it was in Phoenix. And the reason I say it's a bigger deal here is because in most Phoenix neighborhoods, there's a 6-foot or 7-foot block wall all the way around the property. So literally every house has privacy, unless of course you have a second story or a 2-story house behind you and you get that fishbowl effect. But one of the things I've noticed here in the last 18 months since I've been here is that a lot of these properties, there is no privacy. And that's a pretty important thing.
Some subdivisions here, most people have a 6-foot-tall fence. When some people even have 7, and some places allow even an 8-foot wood fence. But some subdivisions only allow iron.
And so everybody gets to see everything.
Everybody gets to see everything. So the layers of privacy that you want to achieve it's a really important part of what we're going to discuss here today.
Absolutely. And it's also one of those things that it takes some time. Mike and I were talking about this before we started the podcast today. And I was telling them about a project that I was working on. And these things just take a little bit of time because people like yourself and me, we think about privacy. We think about noises. We think about smells. We think about all that stuff. And so the privacy is really a big part of coming up with a plan that's going to work for you. Who wants to build a really nice pool? And then now everybody can see you. Maybe there's people out there that do, but I have to think, because I know my wife and I know my sisters, I know a lot of women, I know men, they're not comfortable being around a pool in their swimming suit, and now they've got the neighbors all looking. So privacy, yeah, I think it's pretty important.
So it's just there are very few people that don't mind the view. So most people want some form of privacy, even if I used to think people that live on golf courses, I'm like, they don't care about privacy because they live on a golf course. They got people walking around, but they even like privacy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's from the neighbors. And most importantly, we're going to dive into a couple of things and talk about it for a few minutes here. So should I start out?
Yeah.
Okay. First thing I think is the most important thing, which is what we do, is you need to think about a design. Okay. Because if you take a design and you bring privacy into play, you can solve a lot of problems. So privacy comes from a couple of different places. So first thing is you're looking out of your house at something. Okay. Your neighbor's house, views, things like that. So you've got to figure out where your key sight lines are. So when you look out, you can screen those particular views or create a focal point or something to look at instead of your neighbor.
Sure. And one of the reasons why we like to go in the house when we're out there on our pre-sites, we're looking at property so we can see what those viewpoints are and to ask about them.
Yeah. What I look at is sometimes people are like, wait a minute, why are you looking at that particular thing? And I said, you're going to be in certain spots of the house with a lot of regularity and certain parts without not so much. But know, the key things, like to me, a staircase, when I walk down from the first floor to the, from the second floor to the first floor, I'm going to be looking at something in the backyard walking down that staircase. Mm. So that's a sight line a lot of people don't think about.
Sure.
I think the sight line from the kitchen sink is important. Okay. Sure. Now, some people in the house may not think so, but some others may. I was the kid that had to do the dishes. And so, you know, I would have loved to have something cool to look at. But as you enter from the garage, you usually come through a hallway and you come into the public space. There's a sight line right there. It's the first thing you look at when you come home and you enter from your garage into the space. So you look out and you see something. Some people, it's from the front door. Some people, it's from the master bathroom door. Walking into the master bedroom, you're going to look through the window at a certain spot. So these are all real narrow sight lines, but it's cool to play off those particular things. And then you can also play off where the neighbors are at that you want to make them disappear.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people, I don't know, understand this. When we draw up a plan, we're different than a lot of people in the fact that we put windows and we measure where your windows are. And so then we can figure all these things out. I really like to go inside the house with a camera mm-hmm. and take a picture from those particular key spots, because then I can see very easily, oh, there's a neighbor's window that's an issue. You may not even have noticed it yet. As a designer, if I can pick up on it, and if you tell me privacy is an important feature, I can help solve those problems before you even realize some of them are there. Once we've got the sight lines figured out, then we want to lay that on the plan. And so when we come back and show you the solution, we can show you how we fixed all those particular things with sight lines from inside. Now, your neighbors also have sight lines into your property.
Yes, and they probably don't want to look at you.
Yeah, so they don't, because you're sitting looking at them, that type of situation. So they'd like their privacy as well. One of the ways that you can figure that out is you can do it with photographs. You usually get pretty close, but if there's something that's really critical, you can go into Google Earth and you can outline the neighbor's houses on our plan. And so you can say, there's that where that window is right there. I can see if I put something right here, I can screen those off. And what's crucial to all this is we do 3D modeling. Okay. So we've got your windows in place. We may have the key windows in your neighbors in place. And now we 3D model it. So that when we put it together and you look at it, you can see how all the solutions work.
That is the beauty of our modern day design programs.
Yeah, it's really amazing what we can create something. And then when you go out and live in it later on, it's just 3D is exactly like the reality that it becomes. So that's the fun. Sometimes when we talk about privacy too, there's going to be a spot in your backyard or in your house that's really important to you that you want privacy from your neighbors. Got any ones you think of off the top of your head that come into play where you've lived before?
So I was just thinking that I wonder if one of the bigger differences between here and say Arizona and maybe some of the other southern states, the Sunbelt states, is in North Texas, this weather, it's crazy. It's all over the map, literally. I remember hearing Jeff Moreland tell me, look, when you get over here and you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes because it'll change.
Yeah.
And it really has been that way. And so I wonder if maybe, you know, at least in Phoenix, you know, because our weather there is 300 days a year of sunshine, people are in their backyards all the time. I mean, we were in our backyard year round, 365 days a year. Here you really can't be, because there's times it's just too cold, you know, that or the wind's blowing or it's raining or it's snowing or it's hailing or whatever it is. So maybe that's one of the reasons why there's not as much privacy here is because people don't use their pools as much. I don't know. I scratch my head trying to figure it out. But to answer your question, because you asked me a question and I went off on a tangent. Yeah, for instance, our home in Phoenix, in Ahwatukee, in the foothills, we have an above ground spa right outside our master bedroom. Okay. We have a 2-story house next to us. There's no windows on that side of the house. And our wall's not quite 6 foot tall. So you could peek your head over if you wanted to see your neighbor. So we had a tree there. So it's a little bit harder because, you know, people that are going to peek or look, they're going to do it no matter what you do. The idea is, I think what we're trying to accomplish here is how do you mask the view so that it disrupts it so people aren't really seeing and looking at what it is that you're doing.
Yeah. So the eye, if you have something to focus on before it gets to the object that you're trying to screen, I don't want them to see me. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if there's something in between, it doesn't have to necessarily be a solid object to stop their eye. because their eye stops on that particular thing. Unless I spotlight myself in the middle of the night, okay, then they might look through that object and see me. But, sure. You know, if you've got something that the eye stops on, then usually that's good. But sometimes you can still do full, we'll talk about solid screens versus living screens and that type of thing. So
but what you're talking about, though, is like, you know, most people know what lattice is, strips of wood. They're in a pattern and they leave a little square. That square is, I think, 2x2, 3x3, something like that.
Yeah.
So if you took that 4x8 sheet of lattice and put it up in front of somebody, they're not going to see everything as well. It's going to disrupt the view. And so they're probably not even going to look at it for very long because it gets annoying.
Plant a jasmine vine on it and then they even disappear even
Absolutely.
More.
Absolutely. What I do like about having to create these areas of privacy is it, from a designer's perspective, it gives us more opportunities to work with different things. That just wasn't really a huge deal there unless, again, you had the two-story house behind you staring at you all the time.
I would say a majority of the projects we work on, there is that two-story house behind you, next to you, catty corner to you, maybe on all four, five sides of you. So you've got someone beside you on both sides, someone behind you, and then you got people that are at 45 degrees. You've got all these different lines of sight that you may want to block out. And a lot of neighborhoods, especially some of the larger homes, they're all two-story.
Yes, they are.
And that becomes a one-story is a rarity to actually deal with. But you mentioned the hot tub. I'd say that's probably one of the favorite spots people like to hang out, that they like to have some privacy. Some people, it's the patio area that they entertain on. Sometimes people, it's the barbecue area that you cook at.
Or it could be the outdoor TV viewing area.
Yeah.
You're out there sitting there, you're in your outdoor room, and you just want to feel like not everybody's staring at you, I guess.
Right. So you've got those sight lines that you want to screen from those favorite spots, wherever they're at. Coming up with the design and the 3D modeling, I think, will give you a lot of ideas on how you can handle the different things. But the other thing was brought up by somebody was, I can't remember who it was, what's the neighbor going to feel like when you put some screening up? I've yet to talk to somebody that was in an adjacent piece of property that's like, oh, they planted a bush and I'm really upset that I'm looking at a bush now instead of into their backyard. Most neighbors are like, I don't want them to look at me either.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people have already planted things. They're looking at screening you and they've come in and do things. All you have to do sometimes is borrow their landscaping and plant in between. And now you can create a fairly solid situation. So most of the time, the neighbor's not going to mind.
That reminds me of a project last year out at Possum Kingdom, big project. And one of the concerns was that we didn't block the view of the neighbors down to Hell's Gate with the project that we were building next door. That was one of those projects where, again, had to use the 3D design work to show that, yeah, this is not going to block their particular view. And yeah, all that stuff's got to be taken into consideration.
What do you think is the best way to create privacy?
I don't know that there's a best way. I think that there's probably a way based upon the design of the property and the house. So it's going to depend. I've grown really fond of these plasma cut screens,
the metal
ones.
Yes.
And I'm even more infatuated by them because now they're being used on the top of pergolas.
Yes.
And I love that. Look, we've dealt with wooden pergolas forever. In Phoenix, we mostly do aluma wood pergolas, which are really lightweight. They don't have any load bearing capacity. They're super light because they're made of powder coated aluminum, but they last forever. They're zero maintenance. You're not staining those. You're not having to rework the wood. But the metal pergolas with the plasma cut patterned sheets on them, those are pretty cool.
So what you're talking about is it's a typically, what is it, like a 4x8 sheet roughly, and there's different patterns that are cut into those.
Yeah, it's probably 1/8-inch steel.
And so you get a different look, different type of situation. So I've got a project that we just recently finished. And they're building a big gym behind them. And so they came in with some key sight lines with some Corton steel planters. And then they put the plasma cut metal screens on the back of the Corton steel planter. And so we were able to give some privacy. Plus, again, something to focus on instead of looking past or through or whatever.
Well, it's not only privacy. You're also creating a space. And so when you have stuff blocking it or above it, it creates a room.
Yes.
And sometimes people like the feeling of I'm sitting in a room outdoors.
Yeah.
And so you can create that as a designer.
Certainly. So you're ceiling can be a canopy of a tree, or it could be the roof of a structure, or it could be a metal plasma. What did you just call it?
Some sort of partition, I guess.
Yeah, a metal screen. So anyway. Yep.
And to your point, the metal screen is great to grow vines up into if you wanted to hide it, but they're rather artistic. There's some that are really cool looking.
Oh, no, it's definitely an architectural piece, but you can soften it with landscaping if you wanted to, or you can just leave it as a freestanding piece by itself, which is commonly done.
And add light to it. And at night, you got a pattern on a wall.
Yeah, or backlight it. So that would be a cool feature.
Which blocks a view.
There's a lot of forms of screening. That's an excellent one, especially there's a lot of really modern patterns that go with a lot of the design styles that are today. And you could create whatever pattern you want and then have it custom cut too. But there is a lot of prefab things that are being, more and more things that are being created in that media. But what's cool about screens is one of the things when you're trying to create some privacy, the closer the feature that's providing the privacy is to where you are, the more it screens.
Sure.
Okay. So if I put one panel up when it's fairly close to the back of my spa versus I put seven panels up over on the property line, the one that's close to the spa is going to do a lot more screening than the seven that are 40 feet away on the property line. But one of the things with screens that's cool is a lot of cities say a fence can only be 6 feet tall, you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
But you can build a screen off the property line, as long as it's not on the property line, but off the property line, you can build it 8-10 feet tall. So it can provide a lot more privacy if it's closer to you. And so that's what happens with a lot of the projects where we build a structure. A lot of times we'll have one wall that is a solid wall to create some privacy.
And even just a wall in the yard by itself, you can do a lot with. On that wall, you could put all kinds of decorative stuff. You could hang stuff on it. I guess you could put a TV on it. They've got outdoor TV covers and all kinds of stuff for things. This is what I love about our industry right now more than ever before, is that there's just no limits anymore. There's just, what can you come up with? And the designs that are coming up, that are coming out, and some of the stuff, it's pretty awesome. It's amazing.
Creativity is new levels. And we did a project this year and they wanted it was privacy between them and a neighbor. And the city wouldn't allow anything over 6 feet tall. So we came in and we pulled it in. And then we did a custom bench built into this seat situation. And the only way that I could pull it off is if it was part of the pool, it was totally allowed to be. So we basically built floating steps in front of this bench and the back of it was tied into the structure of the pool. So then it became part of the pool. So we were able to get the privacy, build a custom bench for them to hang out on, and then have a cool floating step pads in front of it. You just have to sometimes, there are rules, but you can find creative ways to work around some of these things. But the rules become a big part of what you do. And there's two sources of those. There's the city rules. And then a lot of people have also homeowners association rules.
The HOAs.
Yeah. So you need to be aware that you may be providing the right answers for one, but you have to provide the right answers for both, because in most cases, you're going to have both approvals, unless you're blessed and you don't have an HOA. Some people that are in older subdivisions have that blessing, like where I live currently. It is very nice.
You don't have one?
I do not have one. So although it's a very nice neighborhood and people all try to do what's right by their neighbors and stuff like that, but we don't have to worry about what color our child's play set is, that it is the right color.
I think they're good and they provide a lot of protection for people and their investments and their properties, but they can be overreaching at times.
Sometimes. But again, if you understand what the rules are and you can work around them, then you can a lot of times come up with nice creative solutions. One of the things I think that is most effective for screening a view, and especially that upper two-story window, is a fireplace.
A tall fireplace?
Yes. So I think that is a very strong architectural piece, but it can also be a very effective screening piece for what you want. Plus, it provides an excellent gathering feature to sit around and everything like that. But a lot of times, too, the fireplaces might only be 6 feet wide, but if you come in and you build like custom wood boxes on the sides of
the wing walls.
The wing walls, you know, you can create more space so you can provide more screening depending on what you're needing. And also, if this is under a structure, you could be blocking views from above as well as from the side. So yeah, it's a very effective way to do it.
Buildings are great for that. I've got some people out of Lantana that I'm working with now, that big, beautiful home on a nice, good-sized piece of property, but there's a road behind them and there's houses behind that road on the other side. So they want a structure to block all of that. So the pool would be in between the structure and the house. And it's also one of those things where the house, their backyard faces west. So that means their existing patio is going to be non-livable in the summertime. And that's just one of the things that we think about as designers is, okay, how are these people going to use this pool? And so in that case, it just makes sense to have that structure block the view, but also put the pool in there in the beginning. And now they're going to get their reprieve from the sun from the pool house and not from the patio.
That definitely is a very important part to think about, is how you're going to live in the space. And you can multi-create several solutions with one feature.
Well, and when you're dealing with different elevations too, I mean, it gives you a lot more flexibility as how tall, or whether it should be tall or whether it should not be tall, you know, just based upon those sight lines that you're talking about. There's so much stuff that we can take into consideration, but it takes time to think through that.
But this is a big investment that you're going to have. And so to think through all the things at this point make things work a whole lot better than just coming up with some quick solution that you may not have addressed everything as properly.
We've talked before about how much the industry has changed and morphed in the last 10 years or so, especially since COVID. But clearly people are wanting to create these spaces because we deal with them daily, all the time. And so all of this new stuff that's come out and the new design trends, which have been heavily fueled by COVID and the shutdown and everything else, it's cool. But as I said, it's an awful lot to think through. And as we've said on many other podcasts, we're not just pool guys anymore. We're designers designing outdoor spaces. There's a lot to think about. And as Mike was talking about when we first got started, it's one of the reasons why we want to come into the house. We're trying to help you as designers really create the ultimate space, but we need all the information to do so.
Yeah. So most of the areas that people are really trying to create the privacy to isn't necessarily the pool.
It might be the master bedroom.
It's all these different areas. And one of the things you need to think about is priorities. Which is the most important? First, how are we going to handle that? What's the second most important? How are we going to handle that? The third and the fourth thing, it'd be nice if we could solve that too. Let's deal with one and two, which are most important. So, and it's usually where you're going to live the most, mm-hmm. or where your favorite spot is, where that hot tub is.
I came over here to the podcast from a job in Bluff Hollow in Dallas, and it's a nice, beautiful home, really simple rectangular pool in the backyard with just coping on it, and then artificial turf and an 8-foot wood fence all the way around it with, I think it was hollies all around the perimeter. Man, that backyard just felt really nice and cozy.
Yeah, nice private space. Mm-hmm. So you probably accomplished that with several different things. That's cool.
I didn't accomplish it. It wasn't an important factor to the homeowners. It just that the home builder, they happen to do 8-foot wooden fences.
Right.
I'd love to pat myself on the back, but in this case, it just worked out that way.
The fencing is probably the first thing you'd start with if you're looking at features. And if you have the capability to do a wood fence, and if you've got capability to do taller, then that's beneficial. We mentioned in a project in the past, it's a lot of yard slope. And so some cities will count your height of your fence from the elevation inside your yard. And so if you come in and build a retaining wall to level the yard out, you can then build the fence on top of that. And so now I can increase my privacy than if I dealt with the original grade. So
oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of properties that have what we call a rear entry lot. So you've got an alley and you drive into the garage from the alley, and those lots typically slope 2 or 3 feet down to the alley. And it's not a very big space, usually pretty small space, but you put a retaining wall there and level that up, then you can build a fence on top of that. So you don't feel like you're on stage when you're in that space.
Ladies and gentlemen, now may I present to you?
Yeah, you're looking over. And
hello.
The neighbor's yard. Well, because when you build the pool, it's got to be level.
Yeah.
So it doesn't slope. So
a level pool is a good thing.
Yeah. So a level pool is a good thing. Anyway, I tell a lot of people that to create privacy, sometimes you want it to sink down in the yard. Okay. So if we keep everything level with the house, then as we walk farther and farther out in the yard, we're looking over the fences. So if we can terrace the yard and step down, we can keep some privacy in regards to the fences on the sides.
Absolutely.
So that helps. And so sometimes it's even as simple as where's the place that we're going to be sitting. If we're putting a spa in and it's elevated up 18 inches, we're going to be more visible from a neighbor's versus a flush spa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because now we're down lower and sitting down in the spa, but we're not as visible from windows. That may be something to think about.
Yeah. That spa elevation and orientation, very critical.
So one thing that also has come into play here that's really popular recently is the sunken fire pit.
Yes.
And again, the same exact scenario. If you're sinking down, you're lower, you're more private in that space than if you're standing on deck level type situation and sitting around a fire pit.
Mm-hmm.
The elevations that you're working with and terracing that to create privacy is something to understand what we're trying to do. So that can be something that's really important.
And then trees and plants are not plants, but trees and bushes, different bushes that you can make into a hedge. These are things that can create privacy as well.
Oh, certainly. If you're going to do a hedge, you probably want an evergreen hedge so you can keep your privacy when you're using the hot tub or the pool, whichever season you're in.
So what evergreen hedges would you suggest to people here in North Texas?
There's a lot of different things. And again, your comment in North Texas, that's different than if it's in North California or North Carolina or North Dakota. They're all going to require different plants that will grow in those particular areas. And so you probably, if you went to a nursery, they could probably tell you some of the things, but Italian cypress are a classic.
Yeah.
So they're fairly narrow. They're fairly tall. They can create some privacy. And so those work really well.
Do they do pretty well here?
They do okay. They're not bad. But the thing that really messes with them is if we really get an ice storm, it's like peeling a banana. You get some of this, it just breaks out of it. And then it doesn't look good. And then they do okay. It's not the hot part of the summer and they're really heavy if we get ice. Those two things don't do well, but those aren't common. So a lot of times it's a good solution for space. Like in California, there's some things that you can put in that you can prune that are a foot wide and grow 20 feet tall. So that's something that you could use. Those don't grow here. Some people use arborvitae, some use Lelandi cypress, some use English and Portuguese laurels. Some people are going to put up a trellis and put jasmine on it or something along those lines. So there's a number of different things. But really what it comes down to is you need to understand the mass that you need to provide that. And then I would go talk to someone that knows a lot about plants in the particular area that you're at to make sure that you get the right thing. But even I said it needs to be evergreen. It doesn't really need to be evergreen. So there's a lot of times just the canopy of a tree. It's even as it's dropped its leaves in the wintertime is still providing some privacy between you and the neighbor because the eyes are going to stop at the tree. They're not going to continue on through the tree, even if it's not full of foliage. So those are things that in an ideal situation, you want something that's evergreen.
Italian cypresses are an interesting thing to me because we use them quite a bit in Phoenix. And of course, they're not native to Phoenix, which is the first weird thing. The second thing
Phoenix is in Italy?
No. You probably lose 20 to 30% of them due to the heat. You know, I got to the point to where I really didn't like adding them because they would die and they would have problems. They would grow slow. People wouldn't water them the way that they need to be or wouldn't care for them. So we used a lot of ficus hedges over there, which to your point about California is we could sculpt those things.
Right.
We got a really nice one on one side of the yard at our house in Phoenix. And those things grew and I was able to sculpt them in just a couple of years. I mean, they look great.
Yeah. So different parts of the country, you're going to have different things to work.
Because those don't grow here.
Yeah.
The ficus don't. I think when they freeze, that's the end of them. Okay. That's probably, and really ultimately it's the weather that dictates what you can and can't plant and what's going to grow and not grow. But cool places like Florida, and I'm not saying Texas isn't cool because I love Texas, but man, I love palm trees.
There's a lot of things that grow in different parts that what grows in Amarillo doesn't grow the same in Houston. We've got a lot of different things to cover here in Texas.
The state is as big as a lot of countries.
Yes, that is true. So The one thing that also you could use is what's called a green wall. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's living green walls is what most people think of, which those are pretty cool looking. You can create basically a pattern garden built on the side of a screen. But there's also non-living green walls, which are becoming more and more popular, that are actually using synthetic plants. You could put those up. And one of the most critical things that I've run into is, and it seems like they design these on purpose, you're in a small lot, you're looking out your kitchen window, and you're looking right into your neighbor's kitchen window.
Right.
And you're both looking over the sink. Hi. And so at the same time of the day, you're there looking at each other. And so this becomes a classic area where you could come in with some metal framework that goes up 8 feet tall and put a living wall on it. And so now we've got something green to look at. And if you really like your neighbor, you might ask them about it. Maybe you do green on both sides. So it's something you can work out, but it just always seems really awkward. It's even worse when it's a bathroom window and a bathroom window, although most bathroom windows are frosted, so you don't look at your neighbor.
All right.
You know, you get a little more privacy there. That's an effective way to sometimes create something that doesn't take as much mass as a full, you know, hedge does.
I like those. And we've done quite a few of those for pool equipment surrounds. And aside from the fact that I think they're going to, everything gets a little bit more air to it, you get more ventilation because nothing's solid and it works. But the green, it's something about green. Maybe it's just because I've lived in Phoenix for so long that green is, that's a big deal if you can have some green.
Oh, yeah.
And there's plenty of green here. There's lots of green here.
It gives a more tranquil setting to have something that's green versus just a solid board fence. So although solid board fence is something nice, and one thing you could do, and I've done this before, is it's on those narrow side yards where you're looking out, you can come a foot off the fence, build a screen. Instead of it being 6 feet tall, now it's 8 feet tall. And you can decorate it just like you do a wall. You can put something artistic on it, piece of metalwork, sculpture. You could do a laser cut panel that looked cool there. So there's a lot of different things you can do. One thing that I've seen people use also is these bamboo mats that provide some privacy. It gives a little more of an organic look, which isn't quite as modern as some of the things that people are trying to do today, but that's an effective screen as well.
What are your thoughts on bamboo in general?
I love bamboo.
I do too.
Okay, so I think bamboo is a wonderful plant. What you have to be careful with the bamboo is the spreading. Okay, so
it likes to grow,
which is great. You want it to grow tall and narrow. It's a wonderful thing. I've seen everything from people using these real narrow metal horse troughs and planting them in those. I've seen people plant it in Corton steel planters.
So you keep the roots
contained.
Contained, so they're not popping up elsewhere. Great idea.
Right. So there's actually what's called a bamboo barrier that you can put in the ground to prevent the bamboo from spreading. But it's something, it's like safety with children of the swimming pool. It's best not to rely on just one thing. If you use the bamboo barrier, you may want to use something else too. So I've poured concrete. I've gone into the ground and dug a trench, like a footing for a wall, 2 feet deep, and come in and put steel in it and then concreted that whole thing in, a long, narrow thing along the property line. So then I can plop the bamboo in it and it looks like it was planted in the ground. Or you can just put a raised planter in and put the bamboo in it. The nice thing about a raised planter of any sort, whether it's metal or a pot or it's wood, is now that it's elevated. So the bamboos provide screening even quicker, although the stuff grows fairly quick.
I was reading about bamboo just a couple of days ago, and I'm almost certain I read that it can grow up to a foot a day.
Once it's established, it can grow fairly rapidly.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, I haven't ever experienced a foot a day, although...
I read it wrong, but I would...
No, I believe you may have read that correctly. There's some things that grow very slowly at the beginning, and then they take off after they've been established and grow quite rapidly. Mm-hmm. But bamboo is a great thing. You just have to put it in where you can contain it for the respect of the neighbors.
You need to be able to manage it.
Yes. The other thing is, I have a neighbor that probably on a half acre, probably an eighth of the acre is covered in bamboo.
Wow.
Because they didn't contain it. Mm-hmm. And it just went down the block. And
how tall is it growing?
6-8 feet tall.
Oh, it's not bad.
No. So at least that's what's in our yard. We fight all the time keeping it at bay. So I'm fixing to put a shed in, I think, over on that side of the yard and a concrete foundation. And basically the concrete foundations to help contain the bamboo. I'll let the bamboo grow between the foundation of the shed and the fence. That way it can't go any farther.
Is it a she shed?
Yeah, sure. It's a she shed.
I thought it was funny when that term came out. Of course, we got our man caves.
Yes.
And our wives need to have their she sheds.
My wife complains because I already took the first shed that was there, so I have to provide equal opportunity.
See how you are.
But bamboo's great. Any more? Do you have any more bamboo thoughts?
No, I just really like it. It has a good look to it. I like that whole Zen thing anyway, and modern stuff. I like it. It just seems like it goes good with that sort of thing.
I got a project right now. We basically are building a cabana 5 feet off the property, and I figured a foundation to run down both sides of the cabana and then across the whole back of the fence. And we're going to put 20 feet of bamboo in behind it.
And the reason I asked you how tall those were around your place was because I've seen them grow 20, 30 feet tall.
Yes, they are taller. We're just killing it constantly. And so it's coming back up.
Oh,
so
I see.
That's why it's not tall in my yard. Mm. But I'm going to say down the street, it's probably 10, 12 feet tall.
It's a very interesting species of plant.
No, it does. And it does provide privacy. Mm-hmm. And it's evergreen. It accomplishes a lot of different things that people are looking for. If we build a structure, a lot of times people are thinking that they have to build things up, like a wall or a fireplace or something like that. But you can also get some screening by bringing things down, whether it's from just a drop screen. It could be from curtains. It could be from hanging plants that basically stop somebody's eye from coming into the space and giving you the privacy that you're looking for. So my mom was a big one. We had a big porch. No, it wasn't that big. But we had a porch growing up, and she had a bunch of hanging plants on it. So basically,
with the macrame.
Yes.
Little.
Yes, it was with the macrame.
That was, I forget what they're called.
Potholders.
Yeah.
Yes, that was exactly.
We had. My mom had those too.
Yes.
It's always growing a spider plant.
Yeah, we had some of those.
Spider, are you aware that there's a spider plant?
I have some at the house.
There you go.
Yeah. We had a lot of hanging geraniums, which looked really
geraniums.
Good, but with the season. Probably the thing that works most well, which didn't elaborate on it, is when you come in with a fireplace and you come in and flank things with that. You can come in with masonry. You can come in with wood paneling. You can come with a lot of different things to give some privacy. And one of the things that sometimes isn't needed is sometimes that doesn't have to be a solid wall all the way to the roof. You know, if you are trying to give privacy between you and the neighbor with someone that's got one of those wrought iron fences on all sides, if you come up 6 foot tall, you're going to create the privacy in the space that you're looking for. And then if you leave it an opening at the top, then you still see through the landscaping and it gives a little bit more of an open situation.
I think the ventilation just would be better. Probably air would come through it much better.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I've done a lot of the fireplaces with different screening apparatuses on both sides. I've even come in and left solid walls, but put windows in the walls. You could see through a portion where it wasn't. So you had a sight line that was a problem right at that particular spot. We've even put shutters on some of them.
Even the thing with sight lines, we're talking about blocking stuff. And really, there's sight lines that you don't want to block anything. People are looking to capture a certain view. This is something else that we've got to look at. There might be something that you don't want blocked.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
And there's things with homeowners associations, like I know a lot of people that are on lakes, like you mentioned earlier, that won't allow vegetation over a certain height or anything down a certain distance from the lake. So the neighbors all can see down to the lake too. You're not blocking their views.
So above and beyond the structures, the panels that maybe have a design to them, vegetation, what are some other ways that we can create some privacy, Mike? The umbrella and angle it?
Oh, yeah. So you can
flip it up sideways. Awesome umbrellas these days.
Exactly. So we can create some privacy by how we orient that umbrella from sometimes I don't need shade. I need privacy, but I can change it according to what I need it for at that particular time. Again, knowing what the space is that you're wanting to create that. But an umbrella is cool because you can move it. I want this function at this particular time so I can move it over there and make it create that function. And yeah, there's some umbrellas that are 14 feet across. It's like covering a small room or a view or something by how you tilt the umbrella or what it's being covered, the views from above or to the side or whatever. So an umbrella is something that's very flexible in how you use it.
Agreed.
So the one thing that drives a lot of people nuts, I think, is when they're in a small piece of property, is the sound of their neighbors as much as the views of their neighbors. So having privacy in their conversation while they're speaking in the backyard.
Yeah, depending how close the houses are and how close the patio areas are, you could be almost competing with the neighbors to hear anybody.
Yeah.
And that can be annoying, and it just doesn't make for a great space to spend any time out back.
So one of the things I think helps that more than anything is the sound of water.
For sure.
So we get to bring the pool stuff in at this point in time.
There we go.
But the sound of water is something that will help mask, create some white noise. That's not something that's too overpowering. It gives a buffer between you and the neighbor.
I've been using bubblers for 25 or 30 years. I just started doing that almost immediately. Every pool that I wanted to do, I wanted to have at least some sort of water feature. And right. Back in the day, they didn't have all the fancy gushers and LED lit bubblers. And so we could do a 6 or 10 inches of water and do a standpipe and create a bubbling effect, which is just enough noise. But one of the other reasons I like using those bubblers, Mike, is because it introduces a lot of oxygen into the water, which is really good for the water. And a regular pool with no features on it whatsoever, you're counting on just the surface agitation of the surface returns. And it's just one of those features that really helps the pool, so, but also has the benefit of masking some noise out.
Oh, yeah. So typically today when we do a bubbler, there's not a standpipe.
That is correct.
So that's nice. But I think back in the older time, a lot of times we didn't have tanning ledges either. So I don't know if you were doing that on a 6-inch shelf of water or if you were in a deeper area that you had to have something that came up higher. So
2003. But
the cool thing is you can create a little bit of sound with something like that's cost effective and you've got a really nice noise that's not too overpowering. It can help between you and the neighbor, you know, but sometimes people aren't going to get a pool, but you can just go buy a self-contained fountain and put one of those into the backyard. Now there's more maintenance involved with that type of feature, but sometimes people are like, I'm just going to use it in the summertime. So I'm just going to unplug it and store it in the garage in the winter or put it in the she shed or something like that. So
when really all you need is just enough noise to mask it a little bit. So right. You're not hearing every word and every single complete sentence.
Correct. So sometimes you can have other things that create a little bit of sound. I grew up where it was windy all the time. So a lot of people had wind chimes, which gave a little bit of sound.
Yeah, but, true, yeah.
But I think that the water feature is probably the best situation that you could create in a backyard environment. But it could be something that's small. Doesn't have to be a large feature either.
Another thing that's, I think, important on this privacy thing, because we are talking about not only noise, but seeing things, is we were having a discussion about lighting. And how lighting can, in effect, almost trick people's eyes to where they're not seeing something, but they're looking a direction because your eye is drawn to the light.
Correct.
And so if you strategically put lights in places, that's also going to help give you a little bit of privacy.
So at night, if you're out in your hot tub and you don't have the hot tub light on and you're turning your outdoor lighting on that lights up all your focal points, yes, the neighbor's eyes are going to be drawn to those things, not to where you're at. In fact, would give you some privacy in that environment.
And then you could also put row upon row of Edison lights in your backyard to where your backyard can be seen from 100,000 light years away. And then your neighbors aren't going to look because they're not going to want to look at the bright lights.
Or you could put a really good spotlight and aim it at their window.
Ah, that's a great idea.
Okay. Maybe not such a great idea, but you know, well.
It's kind of funny, but yeah, no, you wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to make the feel like it's a prison break and you're shooting lights out at everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, we're in the backyard now, everybody. We're going to shoot at every window in the neighborhood. No, probably not the best lighting system. Okay. Privacy is a big deal. One of the things that's probably most important is to communicate that to the designer that you're working with. So if he doesn't understand that's an important thing, he can't solve those things for you. But if you bring it up, the designer that you're working with should be able to come up with a lot of different creative solutions that work best for your environment and for your setting that might also work with your codes. So then what you put in is going to make you and everybody happy.
And also, I think since you talked about the designer portion of it, if you're in the process of planning to build a house, you haven't even picked your lot out yet, you're not even sure what you're going to do, man, these are all things that you could be thinking about now that 2-3 years down the road when your house is done, your pool, your backyard's done, you'd be glad you thought about that stuff. Because nothing's worse than getting done with something and going, oh man, why didn't we think of this or why didn't we think of that?
The other thing I just wanted to mention, because I forgot to mention earlier, a lot of times people have a tendency to put a row of things in.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't necessarily have to line the whole back of the property to create privacy.
Like a hedge along the entire backyard?
Yeah.
Or looking for strategic points?
Looking for the strategic things that you need to screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a better, I think, looking environment. Unless you're looking for a really formal setting and you want a hedge. But, you know, a lot of times that's not the solution that you need. But what you have to do is look at the key places, the key sight lines, and deal with those in the manner that works best. So
I agree.
I think we agree a lot today.
Yep.
We will agree to help some people any way that we can. And so if you have questions that you would like to send in to us, or as we mentioned in the past, you could post them on social media, the Poolside Perspective Podcast Instagram page, or you could send them to me or Kevin's personal Instagram pages or any other form that works for you. But there is a spot on the website to address questions, and we will try to address those as quickly as we can and help you figure out what's going to work best for your backyard.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Kevin. Everybody have a good one, and we'll look forward to sharing some more later.
Next week.
Same time.
All right. This show is all about helping you become a better buyer, a better pool owner, and hopefully you're going to find some insights into how to enjoy your pool even more so, how to help your friends, your family, anybody looking to buy a pool in the future or that want to remodel their backyard, add an outdoor fireplace, fire pit, add an outdoor kitchen area, add some shade cells or whatever else it is. We want to be that resource for you, and that's the end goal here, and we promise that there's going to be a ton of information. We'll try to go through it, you know, as relatively quickly, but also slow so people can understand. But the intent of the show, the reason Mike and I are doing this is because we just got a lot in our heads and we want to share it. So we hope to see you here every single week. Thanks for listening.